Well, good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday. I'm your host, backbike producer Dennis Johnson. We go until quarter after one this afternoon. This Brass Tack Sunday, like many others, I like to dub as a special Brass Tack Sunday, because today, unlike other Sundays, we are looking at a panel of experts that will include many of you listening. And we may have to turn around the roles today, where as opposed to be listeners, that you may have to be contributors. And why do I say that? Today we're looking at the fine line, the perfect balance between business and employee, economic and social, layoff and pay cuts. How do we balance the loss of sales for many, many businesses out there, especially due to loss of disposable income relating to the last 7 weeks or so of lockdowns and curfews? And how do we balance that against the need of the employees, some who become like family in these businesses? How do we maintain these employees and at the same time meeting our targets and remaining in the black? Is it possible? What are some of the solutions? What are some of the approaches to this? Now, seeing that we have our panels these days on the line, technically when you call, you are a panelist. But our expert panelist this morning, none other than the president of the Human Resource Management Association of Barbados, known as HRMAP. She's the president. Her name is Mrs. Brittany Braffitt, and she will be guiding us through this discussion today, as she is someone who has advised on labor policy, employment, employee policy for years. It's something that she has spent some time doing and have some expertise in. I expect to be joined by one or two other experts during this program, but what we want to hear from is the workers and persons who are in leadership or ownership of business. Who is an expert in workers' situation? Workers. Many times unions speak for workers. And particularly special in this program today is in speaking to the minister and the Ministry of Labor. They are entering into a number of discussions this very week and continuing discussions this very week. And one of the things they're interested in hearing is the perspective of the individual worker and business person. Yes, they are represented in the social partnership at the group level and the umbrella organization level, but they are very hungry and thirsty to hear from you individual workers. What are your opinions? What are your thoughts? How do you think that we can get through this as Team Barbados? You have labor, the workers, the union. You have capital, the business. And you have policy, the government, which is the government elected, but all of us together as government as well. So that is the question and the topic and the issue this morning for Brass Tack Sunday. I'm going to welcome the president, but before I do so, we have to let you know that this and every Sunday, as Brass Tack is brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joins from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
So workers, small business, medium business, even big business, I want you to get yourself ready to call us 434-1790 or give us a WhatsApp 266-4862 and you can start to get lined up. In the meantime and in between time, good morning to President Brittany Brathay. Are you there?
Hi, morning, Corey. How are you doing?
Morning, I am fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
Okay, you heard the opening spiel. You know the situation out there. And I would like you to start off by giving your thoughts on all that's happening, the current situation in Barbados as it relates to employment, but also to segue over to that after you give people an understanding of HR. And the reason I say that is as I was discussing this program with some friends and colleagues, we agreed that many people see HR as the place to go when you have issues, as opposed to the place that's supposed to prevent the issues, human relation issues. Sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I want you to give the listeners an understanding of HR, human relations.
And I really think that is contextualized by the way in which each organization sees HR's function. HR can be as strategic as an organization enables it to be. So HR should really be a proactive resource, guiding those persons who have to make, you know, the financial decisions, you know, providing data that can, you know, enable good and sustainable business decisions while looking at all the other nuances. So the cultural elements and the labor law elements and all those things. It's a very all-encompassing and comprehensive role. But, I mean, in some organizations, unfortunately, still HR is just seen as the go-to, as you're saying, for when an issue arises versus being the person to help the avoidance of the issue. In my personal situation, I've been able, unfortunate enough, to work with entities and clients who see the value in, you know, having a professional who they can tap into who helps to prevent bigger issues and or even in the midst of issues, provide solutions. I think one of the bigger challenges we have is that a lot of organizations, you know, when they get in the midst of the challenges, when they reach out to a practitioner versus, look, we see this coming, what can we do? And what we're going through right now is exactly that.
Right, because I see one of the roles as Herman really is to move HR in many people's mind as the place you go when you're in trouble. And a place you can go to prevent trouble. And I think that definitely is a medium to long-term, let me say, a mission. But let us go to what is happening today, the climate of employment today, and get your take on that.
And I mean, particularly around the world, it is far more a climate of unemployment, and which is extremely unfortunate. When we look at the statistics the ALO are pushing out, you know, we have millions of people unemployed across the world. In Barbados, in our specific circumstance, we heard the Prime Minister announce that there are about 36,000 claims as at last week, which is a tremendous number when we look at the average number of people who are regularly employed in Barbados. And I think the way in which employers, and I'm going to speak to employers first and then employees, the way in which employers need to be looking at it, at least those employers who are still in business, because as you can appreciate, Corey, there are some people who have closed all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hospitality would be one of those harder hit sectors. But there are sectors who have worked through the period or are reopening, and it's about finding smart solutions. So yes, we've seen people employ layoffs, but you can rotate layoffs. So you don't necessarily have to, if you still need, you know, for support to be lent to the CLO, to the CFO, or to whomever your executives are, you can rotate layoffs so every person gets a piece of pie. So rather than having, you know, a slew of persons on layoff for the full 3 months, you can do your layoff every month and have people, you know, keeping their brains active. You can possibly use the short time. Short time is an excellent option as well. So rather than having to, and let me make the distinction between short term and layoff. So layoff is when you place a person, when the job is not required at the moment. It's not that it's not ever going to be required, but it has diminished because, you know, the organization's functionality has diminished. And you place that person for a period of time off, and the organization does not pay, the person collects the benefit of it through the NIS for a short time. Short time technically is triggered if a person is working less than half of their average working week. So let's say if you usually work 40 hours, short time is technically triggered if you're placed on a 20-hour work week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What has been excellent about going through this is that our government has, you know, proactively said that those persons who are placed on short time can get a top up. So mm-hmm. even if you're losing part thereof of your wage, you can get a top up.
Right. One of the things I saw there proposed was 60% of the wages for the remainder of time you would have been on.
I think it's 40% for the short time top up, but 60% for the layoffs.
For the layoffs, okay. Well, yes. So layoffs, yes. I hear bringing it up on the computer now.
Correct. So 60%, and it's not just 60% of your maximum wage. It's actually 60% when you're on layoff, it's 60% of a maximum of the national insurance earnings limit.
Correct.
And the weekly NIS earnings limit is $1,126, I believe. So it's not just, if you earn more than that in a week, it won't be 60% of what you earn. Rather, it is 60% on a maximum of $1,126 mm-hmm. when you're on layoff. And I do believe the short time top up is 40%.
You're still trying.
But those are two really good options that can be explored by corporate entities, by organizations, by rotating those things in the first at least, you know, when you're going through the difficult times like these. There's also the option of creating shortened work weeks. So you may not trigger short time per se, but rather than working 40 hours, you may have somebody working 32. You may be looking at spreading the hours.
Are you sure we can get this confirmed? Because I'm here reading the unemployment benefit mm-hmm. for 6 months is 60% for the days not working on short weeks. So there's something similar for layoff and short weeks.
Correct.
And I'm glad you went into that because sometimes we conflate, mix up everything in one and call it a soup.
There we go.
So I'm glad we could bring some clarity to that.
Right. And it's important for people to understand that there is a distinction between the layoff and short time. They're not the same thing. They can be used interchangeably, but they're definitely not the same thing. So if you've been placed on short time, it's technically should mean that you're working less than or half of your average weekly hours that you usually work.
Okay. I want to talk back to something you said so we could keep the discussion going because we got some callers lining up already, but I want to flesh mm-hmm. out a lot of the macro issues first before we zoom in and go on to the micro. When we look at things like rotation and layoffs and short time and, you know, things like that, is there any particular best practice or policy that you would recommend to employers and employees to look out for? And the reason I ask is that, especially when you find times like this, this can lead to exploitation, vindictiveness, or so on. So, for instance, I like Britney, so I can give Britney more time, or I can force Dennis to work the graveyard because he don't like it, that kind of thing. Is there a policy or best practice that you would recommend to make sure it is fair across the board? Because one of the things you want to prevent in a time like this, everybody desperate to put food on the table, you may find a lot of avenues for exploitation.
Right. So, I mean, there is not a policy per se. I think, and because this would have caught a lot of people off guard, mm-hmm. I think for a lot of organizations, there's a lot less exploitation and a lot more that organizations had, you know, persons who had very condensed functions and exercised very critical functions, and that was not shared with anybody else. So there may be some roles where people would like to rotate, but there's literally not. For example, some people are not a signatory to checks, or they can't, you know, they can't sign critical documents that keep the organization rolling. Mm-hmm. So if you have those kind of impediments in the organization, it may stop the rotation. But if you do, in fact, have roles that people can share, or the functions can be pretty seamlessly handed over, I would say, as far as reasonably practicable, keep people rolling. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things that even in my primary organization, we are really looking and we've put it into practice. So where a person can do 2 weeks on or 2 weeks off, or 3 weeks on or 3 weeks off, to keep, you know, people active and to keep money coming into persons' pockets, we are doing that. And I would really implore to every employer, if it is feasible, do that. Because, Corey, I think what a lot of us, what a lot of employers, and a lot of, and I'm an employer as well, but what a lot of us have to recognize is that beyond this period, you know, and we will get past this period, we will, you're still going to want employees who are loyal. You're still going to want employees who come in and do their best. And helping to keep them where it's at least possible on the roster, keeping them rotating through the organization is one of the things that can keep people motivated. But not to say, I wouldn't say that in every case it may be exploitation, but where employers can, I truly implore them to, you know, rotate people in and get other people getting some time in the organization.
You see, there's a mentality out there that we know all too well, and it's really training versus the expendability of people, right? Why you say that is that some employers see it as, they got other people out there that want work, you know. If you don't want mop and bring me coffee, I can find somebody that can do it.
Yeah.
Versus some employers who understand, listen, you put 2, 3, 5, 10 years of training in that person, and when you release them, you're actually releasing a significant investment. So it's really to get employers ready to see employees as an investment and not an expense.
And I think in this time, hopefully employers, that is becoming very, very clear to employers. No employer can run their business on their own. It's virtually impossible. And we see that from the largest to like the Virgin Group to the smallest, even entrepreneurs. So it becomes critical for you to see the value in your people. And I know we've touched on the more, you know, legal things like the layoffs and so on. But I would also say, Corey, even in the softer areas, keeping in contact with your employees. For those who you can't offer employment to during this period because it simply isn't feasible, you know, are you, you know, giving them a ring, you're calling them to see how they're doing, what is happening, what mechanism are you employing to ensure your people are okay at all? You're sending them emails, you're helping them to do training, and there's lots of training going on. There's the NTI that just launched, the National Training Initiative. Are you giving them guidance on how to go into those things, you know? So even if you can't offer people employment or you can't rotate them on the short time or the layoff, try to keep the brands active. It's a hard time for everyone.
I'm glad you mentioned training. I want to touch on that before the end of the program, where we look at what we're going to do with employees in the tourism sector. And the proposal is really to have a massive training schedule set for them that they can train so that when we pass COVID, that we actually would have used the time wisely to present a way better product for our tourism market. But let's take some calls at this time, 19 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's hear what was going on, and then we could tackle some of the topics that we have here on a broad and specific level as well. So let's say good morning and welcome to the first call. Brass Tack Sunday, you're on the air.
Hello, hi, good morning.
Hi, morning.
How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. And your guest.
I'm doing well, Corey, thank you.
Corey, I must say, I no disrespect at all to your guest, neither yourself, but I am saying to this morning, I'm a little disappointed, really. Because we grew accustomed every anniversary of the sitting government, every Sunday, closest Sunday to the anniversary, and today is the anniversary of the government in office for 2 years. Every year, we grow accustomed to a Sunday program, looking, critiquing the performance or lack of the government in office. That's why I'm disappointed, because today I ain't getting that opportunity to know, to critique, to compliment, but by all the kids. And that, to me, is telling me that this program, right, is falling apart from its normal standard that is set throughout the years. Any comment? Because I got a little more to say.
Certainly. I agree that we could have put things in place to look at that. But one of the things that I know the old people used to say is, we ain't passing, miss you. So I think that next week, Sunday, God spare life, if we could put some things together. One of the things in doing that, as you know, those types of programs take a bit of putting together. A lot of the players that would have been integral land the plane on this one quick. A lot of players that would have been integral to that process are really caught up with some very, very important stuff, like saving lives, et cetera. And I think that giving them some more time to put the program together from our end and from their end, you can hopefully see a program like that. Compliments of yourself, sir.
Yeah, because fine.
Next week.
But Corey, to come to that, from last year, right, we know that the anniversary would be today.
It's true.
And I am saying...
From last year, we did not know that COVID-19 would be with us.
No, fair enough. But all I'm saying, COVID-19 is still upon us, and you won't go program today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, no COVID-19, whether in or out, never stopped the VOV from mounting the program.
But no, right. In all seriousness, as somebody, as one of the principal people here organizing Brass Tacks Sunday for well, I can tell you there are so many things, so many weeks that stop us from having specific guests. Even up to this morning, there are many, many things that occur behind the scenes to put these types of programs together. Let me quell your disappointment by saying that I am going to work with the team to ensure that that particular program comes off.
No, what I'm saying, right? What I'm saying, Corey, and don't try to run me.
No, I'm running you, sir. I'm telling you the truth.
No, because I can hear your decibel's gone up a little bit. And normally when
Wesley, come on. Don't kill the show with your foolishness, man. Let me move it.
You know that you got a short leg flying, right?
Wesley, I seek permission from a producer for you to talk the quarter past one, so you gotta do it decibels.
No, I want all that.
I
can look at you in 2 minutes.
Jesus, that's you hear when you come here. I thought you come to educate and enlighten the public.
Man, listen, well, I hope to learn something by this conversation, and I would say this to you, right? This program this morning, even though it is important, and you have a very fine young lady articulate enough to explain herself to me, and I understand what she's saying from get-go. But all I'm saying, this program and a program such as this could wait till next week. Okay? And put...
No, Wesley, I fundamentally disagree with you, right? We talk politics every day. Sunday is really designed by the persons who sponsor the program, right? To get some expert guests to deal with specific topics that would have come up during the week. That's the person who actually paying for the program, right? Now, the workers and putting food on the table and sustainability of our people must be more important than the nitpicking a political achievement here and there. That is what could be, in my opinion. So we may differ in opinion, yeah?
But Corey, and the table with decibels just now, right? I am saying to you, every person life on this island right now is dependent on a political decision.
That's the sad thing about it.
We is in a political environment, right, which we set for ourselves, you know.
All right.
We can participate every 5 years to ensure that telescope take precedence. So all I'm saying to you, Corey, Mr. Corey Lane, all I'm saying to you, is that I think today, right? VOB, and I'm not going to say Corey, even though Corey. Wait, by the way, you gave Mr. P a big pick, man. I thought I didn't lie, but.
I got off call Mr. P for you when I pick it.
Man, no, but you said it. You tell Dennis you're a producer this morning.
Man, I ain't talking about P. I can talk to P off here. I ain't not in business with you guys about dealing with people, personal business in the public.
Let me get back to your thing.
Yeah, but let me close on
today,
that and
today,
let us agree
today,
to disagree.
Today,
yes, go ahead.
Today.
Land the plane.
See, we open the paper.
Land the plane.
Today, we open the paper. You know, all.
And you know from tomorrow, they give me what? Say that.
So all I'm saying, we live in a political climate.
Right, I understand.
You robbed me today of a political discussion.
I apologize.
I will never forgive you, man.
Okay, no problem. Lord, please let him forgive me. Amen. Brass Tacks Sunday, good morning, you're on the air. Let's get down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good morning, welcome to the program. Brastak Sunday, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, morning,
I have
morning.
A question for Ms. Brathwaite.
Yes, please, go right ahead.
Concerning the cars that when you're unemployed, the cars that they give you, should you get a job? I want to know if from NISF they would sign the card or if the employer will call in and sign the card. Because normally, if you get a job, they always stay with to sign the card and bring it back in. So I want to know if the employer, should you get a job, was you do the necessary things from there.
No, if you get a job, this is a job from somebody else who has not laid you off, right?
Right, yes.
Yes. Okay, so one, let's take a step back because I know NIS is primarily using the online system.
Yes, please.
For those persons who are going online and using the system to re-register every few weeks, you know, that they're still unemployed, etc.
Yes, please.
If you are using that mechanism, it's easy because when you go in there, you can say, you know, I am not working, and they would stop the benefits. If you still have the stamp card, I would say for both the new employer and for yourself, so you visit NIS and notify NIS that you are now employed, and you sign that stamp card and take it back in. But also ensure that your new employer is putting you on their NIS schedules from the first week or first month that they pay.
Yes.
So that, you know, you have a check and balance. So even if you send it in and somebody in NIS, because they're extremely busy, they miss it, when the employer's schedule is going, you would be on the employer's schedule. So just do both. I would say do both. Sign your stamp card and ensure the employer put you on
the
schedule.
But they have, NIS have the stamp card already.
Good.
Right.
So just ensure have you on the employer's schedule.
Right. So it won't be coming back out to us.
It should not be because they're doing, most persons are going online. They're routing people online to yes. So next time, if you get a job, for example, within the next, so let's say you're on NIS. And you get a job, then you go on there. One of the questions is, have you found employment in X period?
Yes.
And if you have, you take yes, and that will stop the benefit.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right. Yes, thank you very much. Okay.
No problem.
Thank you. So you see, so people are learning from a previous caller. That's what the program is for, the interaction for people's survival, man. That's where the bread and butter really matters and the rubber hits the road. Brastats, good morning. Let's take another call. I have a lot of comments here I want to read, but let's take another call. Brastats, good morning. Yes, please. Good morning.
Morning, Corey.
Hey, morning.
Hey, you're right here.
Hey, man. Long time.
Yeah, see, I'm very going to call you with other things, but you'll talk without privately.
No problem.
As someone who would have studied political science and also HR, I tend to disagree with your first caller. One of the mantras of your radio station, Voice of Barbados, is to inform, educate, and entertain. Politics is not the only educational or informative topic that they have. And at this time, with people who are battling with, when they talk about people, they talk about managers who are battling with how you deal with staff, how you keep your company afloat. Brittany's, her exposition here will be very relevant to those who have a keen interest. Now, she was talking about the alternative layoff. I call it alternative layoff, where a company may lay you off for 2 weeks and then keep bring you back on. Which I find
the rolling layoff.
Right, the rolling one. Mm-hmm. What I would like to know is regards to those companies who have the rolling work hours. So you have a number of divisions where you may have some people working 3 days, 1 week, and two the next. Then you have some that are working half day today in the morning, half day in the evening tomorrow, and it rotates. Now, in that instance, you have some people who will be working, say, 3 days or 24 hours. And then you have some who are working less. Is that a fair way to do it, or should everybody be working on the same rotation basis?
No, so everybody doesn't have, very good question though, but everybody doesn't have to work on the same rotation basis. A lot of companies have not just had to downsize their headcount, but had to reduce their production level. So what that has meant is that production hours has, you know, have had to be adjusted. So it would be subject to where you are in that production line, that it would determine your hours and how they fluctuate. Now, what I want to be clear about is you mentioned, for example, some people may be working 24 hours where another may be working 15. It's important to note that when you're looking at the short time, it's not just a matter of whether the person is working 20 out of 40 hours. There are some places or some people who usually only work 4 days or 3 days. So their average work week would in fact be the 3 days versus the full 40-hour work week. So if the production is going down and they're actually working, you know, a day and a half, it would be half of what they are regularly working. So it would just be a reduction down. But to answer your core question, no, everybody does not have to be adjusted equitably, because you in a, particularly in organizations who are dealing with manufacturing and production, every segment of that business, the way in which they have to downsize or upsize may be different in this time.
Okay, all right, thanks.
No problem.
All right, Brittany, I'm going to ask you, because we have a number of persons online asking for you to explain short time again.
Okay.
You had explained earlier, but just for clarity of those messaging in right now.
Right, so technically, per the Employment Rights Act, the short time is where a person renders services for half or less than half of their average work week. So if your regular work week is 40 hours, and this is the simplest example, if your regular work week is 40 hours across 5 days, then you would technically be placed on short time if you are placed to work 20 hours or 19 hours. If you're working 21 or 22 hours, technically that's not short time, because it's not less than half or half of the week, the working week. So, but again, there are some people who have 3 day work week. So if you have a 3 day work week, usually, so if you have always worked only 3 days, then an employer, your short time, or you would trigger short time at a day and a half. So that would be the simplest example.
Okay.
But not don't apply the 40-hour work week if you have not always worked a 40-hour work week, so as to not confuse yourself.
All right, good. Thank you. Let's take another call. Brass Tax Sunday, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Corey, good morning to you and the boss man of course, but I get up on the stage also.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, I got to see it, but so if you'd again Trump marks over the 10, how much would you get?
It was giving
Trump marks over the 10. How much would you get?
I wouldn't be able to grade, because it depends on what you listen to is what you will hear coming out, especially from the U.S. So my grading might be off.
I don't want to be grading. You know, we got some real Trumps in Barbados.
But no, don't do that. Do I tell you?
No, hold on.
Suppose, I ain't saying this will happen, but suppose that somebody call just to throw off the topic and to do, and you come now, you fall right in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Don't do that. You understand what I mean? I ain't saying that's what happened, but just in case, let me leave that there. Okay?